الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First, I wish to excuse myself for the title that Mulana has given to me. I am not a muhaddith, nor I may can be even worthy of being a student of a muhaddith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true understanding of what was the muhaddithin of the past, what was the muhaddithin, the classical muhaddithin of the past, that today we cannot, we have no hope and no, there is no hope of a muhaddith being born in today's time when we look at the muhaddithin of the past. It reminds me of an incident. There was once, you know, the famous Imam, Imam al-Dharqutni. Imam al-Dharqutni was one of the greatest muhaddithin of his time. It is said that he had written a kitab called Kitab al-Ilal, which was in 11 volumes, to discuss the difference of the narrators of a hadith, the different, the contradictions. If there was any narrator who had made a mistake, he would narrate this entire kitab and he would relate this entire kitab from his memory. As he was asked for a hadith, he would say, so and so has narrated it, so many people have narrated it from him, this person has narrated it in this way, this person has narrated it in this way, the correct way is this way. And all these questions, more than 10,000 questions, all had been answered to him from his memory. The same Imam Dharqutni, when he speaks about Imam Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhli, another Imam who had passed away 100 years before him, he says that that person who wants to see his helplessness with regard to the muhaddithin of the past, then he should look at the kitab of Ilal of Imam Muhammad ibn Yahya al-Dhuhli. So can we imagine that Imam Dharqutni, such a great Imam, he's saying this about the muhaddith there was, what, 100 years ago before him. We are 1,000 years after these a'imma, we cannot get even close to them. But what we can do, we can try to present the conclusions, what they have come, how they have classified the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from that we can benefit from the works that they have left behind us. A mere person involved in hadith in today's time, if he can reach a level where he can understand the terminologies of the muhaddithin of the past, if he can understand how did they come to the conclusions which they have come to, then that alone is such a very great objective which a person may achieve in today's time, let alone trying to do what they have done. So alhamdulillah, first we are discussing a topic which is quite technical, it is quite academic. I will try to make it as simple as possible. But if the brothers have any questions, then inshallah after the program we will try to clarify anything which has been left unclear. To start off, we are discussing the topic of Taraweeh, which we all know it's in the month of Ramadan. It is specific to the month of Ramadan, the Salat of Taraweeh. The Salat of Taraweeh started in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at one occasion, he came out of the masjid in the night. He came into the masjid from his house. He came out of his house. He came into the masjid and he performed few rak'ats of Salat. And certain Sahaba gathered, seeing that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing Salat in the month of Ramadan. They gathered, they performed Salat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this for one night. The second night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this. Then even more Sahaba radiallahu anhu, the word started going around that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is performing Salat in the month of Ramadan. He's performing Nafal Salat at night. So naturally the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were desirous, because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had encouraged them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. That person who was staying in the month of Ramadan for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having full yaqeen in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all his past sins. So Sahaba radiallahu anhu naturally were desirous to spend the nights of Ramadan in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in performing salat. So because of this, naturally the more Sahaba radiallahu anhum gathered the second night. And the third night, even more Sahaba radiallahu anhum gathered. And the fourth night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided he would not perform salat of Taraweeh with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anhu to put the musalla, to put the hasir, to put the mat into the room, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his salat in his room. So much so, Sahaba radiallahu anhum waited the entire night for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come out, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come out and perform salat with them. In the morning, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, this is something very, very important. I will repeat that in the morning, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he is asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that mazalu nas yantazirunak al-bariha, that people continued waited for you last night, you did not come out. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was present among those Sahaba radiallahu anhum who performed salat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This has been documented in quite a few hadith kitabs with an authentic chain of narration. I'm sure we don't need to go into all the technicalities and of the different kitabs' names and the different narrators. But inshallah, it is sufficient to say that this is authenticated by this muhaddithin, that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was part of those sahaba who performed salat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those nights. And after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform salat al-Tarawih. And this continued in the time after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. There was just general encouragement from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform nafal salat in the month of Ramadan. More than that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he mentioned that the reason why I did not want to continue performing Tarawih salat with you or performing Qiyamul Layl with you, the reason why is khashitu ayyuftarada alaykum. I feared that it would become compulsory upon you. That if I would continue and this would have become later on compulsory upon you, then you would find it difficult. It would have become difficult for you to continue upon it. So because of mercy and shafaqah and rahmah upon us, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do it because of fearing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might make it compulsory upon this ummah. So this is the only reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not continue. So from this we come to learn that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his time, he had performed Salatul Taraweeh with Jama'ah with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. After this, the practice of Sahaba radiallahu anhu continued, that after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in his time, there used to be groups of Sahaba performing Salatul Taraweeh in the masjid. We know that the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not last for a very long time. His khilafah was just more than 2 years. Probably he had only 2 Ramadans in his entire khilafah. So there was no opportunity for him to do anything extra to increase. He was quite preoccupied also in his time with those people who had become apostate, with those people who had claimed false prophethood. So when it came to the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away in the 13th year after Hijrah. He passed away in the 13th year after Hijrah in Jamad al-Ula. So this was the after the demise of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So after that, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa after Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And 1 year had passed in the beginning of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, where the same practice continued of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, that they continued performing Salatul Taraweeh, certain people reading under certain imams. One more thing which I wish to mention, that the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing Salatul Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, this has been narrated by many Sahaba. One of them is Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, Tha'labat ibn Abi Khushani radiallahu anhu, then Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. All of them have narrated the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing Salatul Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan. So there are 8 Sahaba radiallahu anhum who have narrated Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing Salatul Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan. But in none of these narrations has any of the Sahaba mentioned the number of the rak'at that was performed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those nights. All those Sahaba that narrated the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing Salatul Taraweeh in those 3 nights in Ramadan, none of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum has mentioned the number of rak'at performed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those nights. And maybe I should repeat it one more time, that there are many Sahaba, approximately 8 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who have narrated the Salat of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Sahaba on those particular nights in the month of Ramadan. And in none of the turuq of these ahadith, none of the chains of narrators of these ahadith, has it been mentioned the number of rak'at that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has performed in those nights. And this continued, as we mentioned, at the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and then in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Then the ulama mentioned that in the 14th year after Hijrah, that means after a year passing, one Ramadan had passed of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, the next Ramadan of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he came into the masjid. And he came into the masjid and he saw different groups of Sahaba radiallahu anhu performing Salat al-Tarawih, performing Qiyamul Layl behind different a'imma. And people started saying that that person's qirat is better, that qirat is much better. And there was this talk going around among Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu felt that he would gather the Sahaba radiallahu anhu upon one imam. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu gathered the Sahaba radiallahu anhum upon Ubay ibn Ka'b, and Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu would perform Salatul Taraweeh after that. And then Nabi Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned that Ni'matul Bid'atu Hadhi. This is a good bid'at. In other words, this is something which I have initiated, but it's something good. It is something in conformity with the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is not against the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he understood the desire of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in performing Salatul Taraweeh with the Sahaba. And he also understood the reason why Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not continue performing Salatul Taraweeh, for fearing it becoming compulsory upon this ummah. And this reason was no more there after the demise of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So understanding that this was the desire of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had initiated the Salat of Taraweeh under one imam. And he considered this as an innovation, because Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu didn't do it, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't do it. And although Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did it, it was not done on a continuous basis. So this, in this way, it was considered as an innovation, something new. From this we learn also that everything that has been introduced by Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it cannot be classified as a bid'ah. As a bid'ah or something which is a wrong innovation in deen. And also the ulama have mentioned under the hadith that not every innovation which has been brought about in deen is going to be bad. There is good innovations, there are bad innovations. So much so that it is famous of Imam Izzuddin ibn Abd al-Salam that he has mentioned that there are 5 different types of bid'at. We will not go into the detail of these, but from this the ulama have deduced that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had introduced this particular thing which was not present. And it was not necessary that this was a bad innovation introduced in the deen of Islam. Further on, we should also realize and understand that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had endorsed whatever actions that were going to be introduced by Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned in the hadith of Irbad ibn Sariya radiallahu anhu that عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي عضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور. In the same hadith, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that you should hold fast upon my sunnah, and you should hold fast upon the sunnah of my khulafa'i rashidin after me, and you should beware of innovations coming into deen. On one side, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying my sunnah and the sunnah of my khulafa. And in comparison to that, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that you should beware of innovations coming about in deen. In other words, whatever the khulafa'i rashidin will establish as part of the sunnah and part of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will not be considered as part of innovations being brought about in deen. That is why Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that hold fast unto my sunnah and to the sunnah of the khulafa'i rashidin, and beware of innovations coming about in the deen of Islam. So from this we understand that whatever actions the Khulafa'i Rashidin have done which is in conformity to the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to the desire of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will not be considered to be a bid'ah. Under this there are many different things that have come about. One example is the second adhan which was introduced by Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, in his time, there was, in the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there used to be only one adhan. There used to be only one adhan for Salatul Jumu'ah, which is the second adhan which we know today, the second adhan, the one that is given in front of the khatib. In the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is the only adhan that used to take place. And as the Muslims became more, Medina grew bigger, people would hear the adhan and rush immediately to the masjid. But by the time they came to the masjid, they would miss half the khutbah. So much so that the incident took place in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, that he was giving the khutbah, and Uthman radiallahu anhu came into the masjid while he was giving the khutbah. So this made Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu a bit angry that why is Uthman radiallahu anhu coming late for Jumu'ah Salat? He should be coming early. So he told him that you are from among the senior Sahaba radiallahu anhu. In his khutbah, he spoke to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu that why are you coming late? So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said that I just heard the adhan, I immediately made wudu and I came into the masjid. Sayyidina Umar said, well, wudu aydan, that means you didn't even make ghusl, you just made wudu and came. It is the day of Friday, you're supposed to have made ghusl. So we came to know that this was transpiring in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they would find it difficult to make it in time for Jumu'ah Salat. There is no watch at that time. The adhan is being called, immediately they leave whatever they are doing. But by the time they come into the masjid, they have missed half the khutbah. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu introduced the second adhan. This is also endorsed now by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is included in the hadith of عليكم بسنتي وسنتي الخلفاء الراشدين من بعدي. Similarly, in another hadith of Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned that اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي أبي بكر وعمر. That you should tread the path of the two people after me, the two people after me, Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. In other words, that whatever actions they do, you should follow them in their actions. Whatever actions Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu does, you should follow them in their actions. This is the authentic hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the time of Hazrat Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Now in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he introduced the one jama'at of Salat al-Tarawih. And he had appointed Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu as the imam. The question comes about that how many rak'at of Taraweeh was being performed by Sayyidina Umar, how much rak'at of Taraweeh did he order Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu to perform. So as with regard to the hadith of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu with regard to him ordering Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b how many rak'at of Taraweeh to perform, then there are two different people narrating this hadith from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. There's one person, he's a sahabi, he's called Sa'ib ibn Yazid radiallahu anhu. He narrates from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that he had ordered Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu to perform 20 rak'ats of Taraweeh. 20 rak'ats of Taraweeh. There is another narration, inshallah, which I will come to later on, at a later stage, inshallah. So, Sayyidina Ubay ibn Sa'ib ibn Yazid has narrated from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that he had performed 20 rak'ats of, he had ordered Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu to perform 20 rak'ats of Taraweeh. There are many other narrators besides Sa'ib ibn Yazid narrating from Umar radiallahu anhu to say that the amount of rak'at in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was 20 rak'at. There are many other narrators narrating from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu to say that the Taraweeh in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to be 20 rak'at. So now the question comes about that we do not know any particular hadith, any authentic hadith of how many rak'at of Salat al-Taraweeh was performed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those nights when he performed Salat al-Taraweeh with the Sahaba. We do not know how many rak'at were performed in any authentic hadith. And now Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he was present with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in those nights. He ordered Sahaba radiallahu anhu to perform 20 rak'at of Taraweeh. In which year? In the 14th year after Hijrah. Which is still, most of the Sahaba are still alive. Not many of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu had passed away. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, she had narrated a hadith from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person had come to her and asked about the salat of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil layl. She said, مَا كَانَ يَزِيدُ فِي رَمَضَانُ وَلَا غَيْرِهِ عَلَى 11 رَكَعَةً. That Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not increase in Ramadan, not out of Ramadan, upon 11 rakats of salah. So some people have understood from this hadith that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha is saying that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read 8 rakats salah and 3 rakats of witr. 8 salat. In the same hadith, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says he used to read 4 rakats, فَلَا تَسْعَلْ عَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَطُولِهِنَّ. And then he used to read another 4 rakats, and then he used to read witr. So in this hadith of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, she is saying that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 4 rakats, and then 4 rakats, and then he read his witr. The question comes about, we need to, certain principles we need to understand. We are many thousands of years away from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ahadith which are documented in the ahadith kitabs in front of us, we are not the first people that are reading these ahadith. There are thousands of ulama, thousands of aima who have read these ahadith before us. It cannot be possible that we understand something from these ahadith which is contradicting the understanding of the entire ummah of the past. It is not possible for me to take an ayat of the Quran or take a hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to understand it in such a way where my understanding contradicts the understanding of all the ulama of the past. This is not possible. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made ijma' and consensus of the ummah a hujjah in deen. That means it is one of the sources of establishing actions in the deen of Islam. Ijma' is one of the sources for establishing a role in the deen of Islam. So it cannot be possible for me after thousands of years to read a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to understand it in such a way where I contradict all the ulama of the past. That is why Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah used to say, "Ijma'u an-nas habbu ilayya min Sufyan an Mansur an Alqam an Ibn Mas'ud." That people having ijma', people having consensus upon a particular action, this is more beloved to me than me narrating a hadith from Sufyan, from Mansur, from Alqama, from Ibn Mas'ud, which is considered to be the most authentic chain of narration for the people of Kufa. For the people of Kufa, this was the most authentic chain of narration. That Sufyan and Mansur and Alqama and Ibn Mas'ud, this was considered to be the most authentic chain of narration. He's saying that for people to be unanimous upon something, it is more beloved to me for me having an authentic hadith from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because it is not possible for people to unanimously agree upon something contrary to what is established from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, Imam Malik rahimahullah is famous for having a principle called Ta'amul Ahlil Medina. Ta'amul Ahlil Medina. That if there was a particular thing which the people of Medina practiced upon, he would leave even an authentic hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would prefer the practice of the people of Ahlul Medina in his time which was coming, and he would say, Alfun an alfin ahabu ilayya min wahidin an wahidin. That 1,000 people narrating from 1,000 people is more beloved to me than one person narrating from another person. In other words, it cannot be possible for 1,000 people to make a mistake from 1,000 people. But for one person to make a mistake from another person, it is highly possible he could make a mistake. And the possibility of making a mistake for 1,000 people from 1,000 people is impossible. So these are certain principles we need to understand also when studying the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, studying an ayat of the Quran, that we cannot come to such conclusions which are totally contradicting the aima of the past. Another thing which you need to keep in mind is that Sahaba radiallahu anhum were much more desirous than us in following the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were much more desirous than us in following the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similarly, the aima mujtahideen, the aima arba'a, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmed bin Hamad rahimahumullah ta'ala, they were also much more desirous than us in following the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They spent their entire life trying to deduce that what was the desire, what was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants from us in a particular ruling. So keeping this in mind, in the time when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had ordered Sahaba radiallahu anhu to perform 20 rakats of Salatul al Taraweeh, Hazrat Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, the narrator of this hadith, was present at that particular time. She did not understand a contradiction from the hadith which she had narrated from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the practice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anha. In other words, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anha ordered Sahaba radiallahu anha to perform 20 rakats of Salatul Taraweeh, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha didn't say that, "No, I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading only 8 rakat of Taraweeh. Why are you ordering people to perform 20 rakat of Taraweeh?" In other words, none of the Sahaba had any argument against Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu for ordering Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu to perform 20 rakat of Taraweeh. So that is why Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, who was a great Maliki alim, who had written very great commentaries of Muwatta, one of them was called At-Tamheed and the other one was called Al-Istithkar, he had mentioned that the 20 rakats of Taraweeh is established from Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b min ghayri khilaf ikhtilafin min as-sahaba, without any ikhtilaf from any of the sahaba radiallahu anhu. So this is later on Imam Waliuddin Abu Zura'a al-Iraqi, the student of the son of the famous Hafiz Iraqi, he mentions fawwak al-ijma'. This is like ijma' of sahaba radiallahu anhu upon 20 rakats. Another famous Imam Ibn Qudama al-Muqdisi, al-Mughni, he has also considered this to be ijma' of sahaba radiallahu anhum. Huwa kal ijma', it is like ijma' of sahaba radiallahu anhum performing 20 rakats of Taraweeh. And besides Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhum, if we come later on to the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum, then also Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhum used to perform 20 rakats of Salatul Taraweeh. And he ordered other sahaba to perform 20 rakats of Salatul Taraweeh. And that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhum, it is also narrated from him that he would perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh. There are approximately 18 different tabi'een who narrated that they would perform 20 rakats salat of Taraweeh. Among them, one of them was Suhaid ibn Ghafra. He was a mukhadram. A mukhadram is a person who became a Muslim in the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he did not have the opportunity of coming into the company of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to Madinatul Munawwara on the day when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was being buried. He had missed seeing Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his life. He was a Muslim before, but this was, he didn't have the opportunity of being a Sahabi. He, after staying for a while in Madinatul Munawwara, he went and he settled down in Kufa. But it was also his practice to perform 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. Can we imagine a Mukhadram who's narrating, whose ustaz, all Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he's performing 20 rakat of salat of Taraweeh. Similarly, Shutayr ibn Shakal, he was also a student of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he would also perform 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. Abu al-Bukhtari, he was also the student of Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he would also perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh. It is narrated from Ibrahim al-Nakhai, the famous muhaddith of Kufa, that he says, كَانَ النَّاسُ يُصَلُّونَ 20 rakat. That people used to perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh. Ibrahim al-Nakhai, he had passed away in the year 95 after Hijrah. 95 after Hijrah. So he's saying that the people used to perform 20 rakats salat of Taraweeh. Atta ibn Abi Rabah, Ibrahim al-Nakhai was from Kufa. Atta ibn Abi Rabah from Makkah, he's saying, he says the same thing, that people used to perform 20 rakats salat of Taraweeh. Atta ibn Abi Rabah passed away in the year 115 after Hijrah. So they are all, there is consensus amongst the ulama that salat of Taraweeh finally concluded upon 20 rakats. Before that, in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, there were certain Sahaba, there were certain tabi'in who read more than 20 rakats. Some of them used to read 40 rakats. Later on in in Madinatul Munawwara, it became the practice of the people of Madinatul Munawwara to perform 36 rakats of Salatul Taraweeh. What happened is, in Makkatul Mukarramah, there are different reasons mentioned by the ulama, but the most commonly agreed reason is that the people of Makkatul Mukarramah used to perform 20 rakats Salatul Taraweeh. After every 4 rakats, they used to make tawaf. They used to make tawaf of the Kaaba. So the people of Madinatul Munawwara, after every 4 rakats of Taraweeh, they used to read 4 rakats Nafal Salat in between. 4 rakats Nafal Salat in between. So it became 20 rakats plus 16 rakats. It became 36 rakats of Taraweeh. And in fact, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he considered this to be the preferred view. This was the madhab of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, that to perform 36 rakats of Salat al-Taraweeh. In fact, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh mentions that when I went to Madinatul Munawwara, I also found the people performing 36 rakats of Taraweeh. So this was the practice of the people of Madinatul Munawwara. And this continued after them. That means people continued performing 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's madhab was also to perform 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. Imam Abu Hanifa passed away in the year 150 after Hijrah. Similarly, Imam Malik, we mentioned Imam Ahmad bin Hamad rahmatullah alayhi's madhab also was to perform 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. So all the Aimah, their followers also performed 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. It was also the madhab of Abdullah bin Mubarak to perform 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. The madhab of Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi also was to perform 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. So there is total consensus on performing 20 rakats of salat of Taraweeh in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. There might have been differences before that, but after a short while there was no differences left of Sahaba radiallahu anhu performing 20 rakats of Taraweeh. There is many other tabi'in, we don't want to go into all the details, who performed 20 rakats of salat of Taraweeh. Inshallah, we can suffice on this. The question comes about that, why do people want to perform, or why do people don't perform 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh? What is the reasons why? The first proof they mention is the hadith of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, which I mentioned to you before, is that they claim that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never performed more than 11 rakat of salah. This hadith of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, it is difficult to take it upon its apparent meaning. Because Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, she has also narrated from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would perform 13 rakats of salat at night. 13 rakats of salat at night. This is also narrated from Umm Salama radiallahu anha, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu. In other words, there are other sahaba narrating an amount more than the amount mentioned by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha. She herself has narrated a hadith more than 11 rakat being performed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is not possible to say that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not perform more than 11 rakat of salah. Thereafter, as we mentioned before, that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha was present in the time when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anha performed this 20 rakat of salat of Taraweeh. She did not understand a contradiction in the action of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and the action of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was no contradiction understood by any Sahaba radiallahu anhu. That is why no argument was brought up. This is one of the proofs which they mention. The second proof which they mention is that it comes in certain ahadith of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, that he had ordered Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu and Tamim al-Dari radiallahu anhu to perform 11 rakats of Taraweeh. To perform 11 rakats. That means 8 rakats of Taraweeh and 3 rakats of Witr. This has been narrated by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi in his Muwatta and other kitabs as well. Well, the ulama with regard to this hadith of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi saying that Umar radiallahu anhu used to perform, Umar radiallahu anhu ordered Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu and Tamim al-Dari to perform 11 rakats of Taraweeh. The ulama have got two different ways of dealing with this particular hadith. Some of the ulama have mentioned that this was the mistake of some of the narrators of the hadith in mentioning 11 rakats. That means they've gone to the path of tarjih to give preference of one hadith over the other. Because of so many narrations coming from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu saying that he ordered Sahaba to perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh, they considered the narration of 11 rakats to be a mistake of the narrator, to be a mistake of the narrator. And other ulama said that it's possible that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he would, in the beginning, he had ordered Sahaba radiallahu anhu to perform 11 rakats of Taraweeh. And then later on, he made them perform 20 rakats of Taraweeh. He understood from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it was not something that would have been confined, that you have to confine it to a particular number. So he felt that it is possible to change it to 20 rakats of Taraweeh. So whatever way it is, none of the ulama have said that the 11 rakats of Taraweeh is correct and 20 is not correct, or 20 is not authentic. 20 rakats is not authentic from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. All the ulama, they're either saying that they're giving preference to the hadith of 20 over the hadith of 11. One of them is Ibn Abd al-Barr, where he mentioned that it is the mistake of a narrator. And other a'imma like Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayhi and others, they have chosen the path of jama', that means to reconcile between these two hadith, saying that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu had first ordered Sahaba radiallahu anhu to perform 11 rakats, and thereafter he ordered Sahaba to perform 20 rakats. So there is no contradiction between the hadith. This was at one time, and 20 rakats was at another time. But what is firmly established is that 20 rakats was the latter time. Because it is not possible that 11 was the later time, and then the other Sahaba, like in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, and the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu, all performing 20. So the only way to reconcile between these two hadith is to say that the hadith of performing 11 rakats was first, and the hadith of performing 20 rakats was after. We cannot turn the table the other way around. Otherwise it will contradict the actions of all the other Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and it will contradict all the other narrators who are narrating from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that he ordered Sahaba radiallahu anhu to perform 20 rakats. Then there is another hadith which is mentioned about Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, that Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu came to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam permission. He said, there are certain women, they want to perform Taraweeh, they cannot read Quran, they want me to perform Taraweeh with them. So I read 8 rakats of Salat al-Taraweeh with them. The same chain of narrators, they narrate another hadith from Jabir radiallahu anhu, saying that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 8 rakats Taraweeh and 3 rakats Witr. Saying that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read 8 rakats Taraweeh. So there is contradiction in the same narration of Jabir radiallahu anhu. The first, we should understand that the same narrators are narrating both the hadith. Same narrators are narrating both the hadith of Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu. The chains of narrators haven't differed. The first version is that Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b came to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he mentioned that certain woman folk in his family wanted to perform Salat al-Taraweeh, they couldn't, so he performed Salat al-Taraweeh for them, and he performed 8 rakats of Taraweeh. In other words, 8 rakats of Taraweeh was performed by Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. In another narration of this hadith, it says that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed 8 rakats Salat al-Taraweeh. The same Sahabi, the same person narrating is from the Sahabi, the chain of narrators are one. So we can see from this that definitely one of the versions is correct and definitely the other version is incorrect. And we cannot deduce which version is correct, which version is not correct. And unfortunately, in the same chain of narrators, there is a narrator called Isa ibn Jariyah, who is weak, considered to be weak among the muhaddithin. So because he is considered to be weak among the muhaddithin, all the muhaddithin have agreed that we cannot establish from this hadith the number of rakat performed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, we go back to the same conclusion which I mentioned before, that the those Sahaba who mentioned the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing Taraweeh in those 3 nights in Ramadan, none of them mentioned the number of rakat performed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu is weak. It cannot be relied upon to stipulate the number of rakat performed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, on the other side, there is another hadith also of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu claiming that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 20 rakats of Taraweeh. This hadith also has been declared weak by the Aimah. They have not accepted it because of a weak narrator, quite a weak narrator in the chain of narrators. So it cannot be established from this particular hadith that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 20 rakats of Taraweeh. So we have one weak hadith saying that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 8 rakats of Taraweeh. There is a weak hadith saying that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 20 rakats of Taraweeh. Both cannot be accepted to say, to stipulate the number of rakat performed by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is why all the ulama, did dafa in the beginning. The ulama of the Sahaba, the ulama of the Tabi'in did dafa in the beginning on the number of rakat of Taraweeh. If there was a hadith which was narrated by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there would not have been any difference amongst the ulama. This is one of the strongest proofs to show that there isn't no hadith narrated from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which stipulates the number of rakat of Taraweeh. If I've been clear so far, there isn't much left which we need to discuss on this particular aspect. Maybe we can summarize it again, just in a nutshell, and then inshallah maybe we can take a few questions and answers. I know it's difficult to concentrate, it's maybe a bit of to keep concentration for a long time. It's quite technical math. I hope I'm not keeping the brothers up too long. Okay, so to round it off again, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed Salatul Taraweeh in his time. What Sahaba radiallahu anhu? This has been narrated by many Sahaba. Approximately 8 Sahaba radiallahu anhu narrated the hadith of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performing Salatul Taraweeh with the Sahaba. And in none of these ahadith, the number of rakat has been mentioned. Secondly, in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this continued. And in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he ordered Sahaba radiallahu anhu to perform 20 rakats salat of Taraweeh. Besides Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu performed 20 rakats of Taraweeh. In his time, he had ordered other Sahaba to perform. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, there is Suhayl ibn Ghafla, there is other Sahaba and Tabi'in also who performed 20 rakats salat of Taraweeh. There is narrations, I'm not negating, there is narrations of other Sahaba and Tabi'in who performed more than 20 rakats, some of them up to 40. And we mentioned the Amr of Ahlul Madinah performing 36 rakats of Taraweeh. Then we said that there are certain people who claim that you should only perform 8 rakats of Salat Taraweeh. To so much so, they claim that they say that a person who performs 20 rakats of Salat of Taraweeh, huwa kama yusalli dhuhr khamsa, he is like a person who is performing dhuhr Salat with 5 rakat. Can we imagine? We are attributing this to Sahaba. We are saying that Sahaba radiallahu anhum is like as if they introduced something, na'udhu billah in deen, to perform 5 rakats of dhuhr salah. This is what they have claimed. So they are claiming that Sahaba radiallahu anhum added from their own side. What we should keep in mind is those Sahaba radiallahu anhum who narrated the hadith of 8 rakat, even if we accept it to be authentic. Say Jabir radiallahu anhum's hadith, if we accept it hypothetically, if we accept it to be authentic, then Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu passed away after the 70th year after Hijrah. Why did he not go to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said you must perform 8 rakats of Taraweeh? Why are you performing 20? So Sahaba radiallahu anhu never understood a contradiction between the action of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This contradiction was only brought about many years afterwards, where a contradiction was brought about between the action of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So we can conclude that it won't be permissible for a person now in today's time, after it has been established and after the ulama have concluded upon 20 rakats of Taraweeh, it would not be permissible to perform any other amount of rakats of Taraweeh. So much so that even the madhab of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, the latter ulama of the Maliki madhab, they have also adopted the view of performing 20 rakats of Salat of Taraweeh, and this is now the established practice of the ulama of the madhab of the Maliki madhab. In other words, even that chosen view of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi performing 36 rakats of Taraweeh, this also has been left out by the latter ulama of the Maliki Madhab. And in the Maliki Madhab, also it is established to perform 20 rakats salat of Taraweeh. So in other words, according to all the four a'immah, it is necessary to perform 20 rakats salat of Taraweeh, nothing less, nothing more. If there's any questions, inshallah, we can... Chi, brother seems like he wants to ask Chi. Don't feel shy, inshallah.
Without trying to sound controversial,
Chi. No problem, feel free, inshallah.
It's with regards to Salat and Taraweeh, but it's more with regards to the winter Salat.
I don't know if you should entertain it or not. Okay, no problem.
As you know, it's all between the two Madaib, you know, like the winter Salat separately. After the Taraweeh Salat. So, I just wanted to know what would be the impermissibility of like all of us making Salat behind one Imam? Meaning, what between the two different madaris, what is it that does not allow them?
I think that's out of the scope of Salatul Taraweeh, so maybe...
Maybe you can ask that question.
Chi? There are certain areas in the madhab where it becomes difficult to reconcile between the madhabs. So if in a particular area, like if they are performing salat with two separate jama'as, then you should leave it that way. You should leave it that way and don't make it an issue of controversy. In other words, if there is harmony in the hearts, there is no enmity in the hearts, and people are following different madhahib, and in spite of that they are performing two separate jama'ats where their hearts are united, physically they are separated, then there is no harm in it. There is no harm in it. We shouldn't make it now a point of controversy. And in a place where people are performing together, their hearts are united also, we shouldn't make it now a point of controversy and try to separate them also. In other words, this madhahib is not something to separate the ummah. It is something to join the ummah. So if we are doing it with unity, then we shouldn't make it a point of controversy. So if you are having two jama'ats, don't make it now that this is now a sign that the madhahib has separated the jama'at, separated the hearts, and separated the community of Maraisberg, so now we've got to do away with the madhahib. No.
My experience, by and large, people who perform the 8 rakats Taraweeh perform it in a masjid where they're reading 20. So after 8, they need dakhon. So they don't even, all those who are performing 8 don't even perform their witr together, number one. Do you know of any place where people perform 8 rakats Taraweeh together in Jamaat and then perform the witr together?
You know, there are a few places. Unfortunately, in the past 50 years, this has become a common practice. In Saudi Arabia, there's a lot of masajid that perform only 8 rakats of Taraweeh. Unfortunately, in Malaysia also, unfortunately, in Malaysia, most of the ulama were all following madhahib. Most of them were linked with Al-Azhar. But recently, you know, you get students going to certain universities in the Arab world, and then they come back, and then they start changing things, unfortunately. So there are many masajid in the world today that are performing 8 rakats Taraweeh, and performing the witr together after that as well. Unfortunately, this is happening, which wasn't happening 100 years ago. Until today, alhamdulillah, the Haramain, they have kept it. In fact, one alim has written a kitab on the history of the Haram al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of Salatul Taraweeh fi alfi aam, the past 1,000 years of Taraweeh in the Masjid of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he showed that in every era, how they had performed 20 rakat salat of Taraweeh. So much so that Hafiz al-Iraqi, Hafiz Abdul Rahim ibn al-Hussein al-Iraqi, the ustad of Hafiz ibn Hajar, he's quite a famous muhaddith. He has written the Alfiya in Mustalah al-Hadith, Alfiya in Sirat al-Nabiyya. He's written many books, the Takhrij of Ihya Ulum al-Din. He was the imam of Madinatul Munawwara in his time. And he revived the sunnah of the people of Medina by performing 36 rakats of Taraweeh. But how he would do it, he would perform 20 rakats of Salat of Taraweeh as usual. And then in the latter portion of the night, they used to perform 16 rakats of Taraweeh. And this continued in the practice right until recently, till in the year 1200 after Hijrah. This was the practice of the people of Madinatul Munawwara. They used to call it Sitta Ashariya. They call it Sitta Ashariya, the 16 rakat extra which they used to perform later on. So they used to perform 20 rakats of Tarawih with the Imam, and then later on they would come to the Masjid and perform another 16 rakat of Tarawih. So this was the practice in the entire Arab world, in the entire world. Unfortunately, certain ulama have written, certain people have written certain books, which has caused a split in the ummah with regard to Taraweeh. And it's such a thing that it recurs every year. So unfortunately, the split is getting bigger instead of getting smaller. The gap is getting bigger instead of getting smaller now, Billah. One at a time.
After the saying the Fatiha, should we say Ameen?
If you are following the Shafi'i madhab, you should say Ameen. No,
there is some places there is no habit there. It's allowed for them to read the work while they open the Quran.
According to some madhab, it is permissible. According to the Hanafi madhab, it's not permissible.
If I can perform eight rakat Tarawih, and I go out of the mosque, surely if I go home at that time, tomorrow morning, Sari, my wife won't do nothing for me. Because she'll tell me, every time you come up past 9, now,
coming on.
Going to pass you to her house already.
Yeah, no, she's going to wonder what's happening. She may send you back.
Yeah,
no.
Is it wrong to perform 8 rakats Tarawih?
It is wrong, because you are going against the consensus of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. It is wrong. In fact, Imam Subki has written quite a few. Imam Taqiyuddin Subki, one of the great Imams of the Shafi'i madhab, he has written quite a few kitabs on Salatul Tarawih, 3 different books on Salatul Tarawih. In one of them, he clearly mentions that if a person performs 20 rakats, or he tries to bring the people to perform, try to change the people from 20 to 8, then he's causing a problem, he's causing a big harm. Unfortunately, the same thing which he mentioned hundreds of years ago, more than 700 years ago, is happening in today's time.
Mentioned that Imam Malik has a riwayat of 11 in his Muwatta.
Yeah.
Apparently that contradicts Imam Malik's amal, because he used to make amal on 36. Does that mean that one of his aqwal was on 11 as well?
No, the accepted qawl, those the authentic narrations from Imam Malik, is that it is 36 rakat of Tarawih. Imam Malik has also narrated in his Muwatta the hadith of Yazid ibn Rahman, who narrates from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu that he performed 20 rakats of Tarawih. So he did narrate also the hadith of 20 rakats of Tarawih in his Muwatta from Yazid ibn Rahman. Although Yazid ibn Rahman, he did not get the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, but he says, كان الناس في زمان عمر كانوا يصلون 20 ركعة. That people used to perform 20 rakats salat of Tarawih.
I've noticed quite a few times that people going to ruku, when they get up, they break the call and they
tie their hands again.
Is it permissible or what is this?
In none of the madhahib arba'ah, you should tie your hands after coming back from getting up from ruku.
Not allowed to do.
No, it's none of the four imams mentioned that you should do such a thing.
I asked one of the imams that was doing it, and he said that Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet, what must he do with the hands after coming up from ruku? So that Mawlana told me that they could.
No. Unfortunately, this was one of the masail also that had a big effect in the Arab world, where great ulama differed on this masail, and finally it even led to them kicking one of them out of the country because of difference of the masail, whether you should tie your hands after ruku or whether you should leave your hands on the side. But none of the imma say that you should tie your hands again after ruku.
You spoke about the innovation in your talk. What is the opinion? Just clarify the concept and the boundaries of innovation.
Generally, the ulama mentioned that bid'ah and innovation is that which has been established in the time after the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, after the time of Sahaba, after the time of the Tabi'i, and which has got no basis in the Sunnah or in the Quran. It is something which has been introduced after the time of Sahaba, after the time of the Tabi'in, and it has got no basis in Quran and in Sunnah. This is the general definition of a bid'ah, of a bad innovation. In other words, if a Sahabi has done any particular thing, you cannot call it an innovation. If a Sahabi has done a particular action, it cannot be classified as an innovation.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسره. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا واغفر لنا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم سهل لنا أمورنا اللهم سهل لنا أمورنا اللهم سهل لنا أمورنا اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن سهلا إذا شئت. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومطاعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.